We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. issuesetc.org and click support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about Peter denying Jesus. And before you can talk about the actual denial, you got to talk about the fact that it seems that Jesus is in some way kind of set Peter up for it. Peter is there boasting around the table with Jesus that if all the rest of the disciples were to run away, flee, even if they all were to abandon you, I will remain faithful. If they were all to deny you, I would remain faithful. And Jesus says, well, Peter, before the morning comes, you will have broken that promise three times. Now, what's he doing there? And then Peter does exactly as Jesus predicts. Joining us to talk about Peter denying Jesus in Mark chapter 14, Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you.
Is Jesus kind of setting up the ultimate I told you so when he predicts that Peter will do what Peter does in the 14th chapter of Mark?
Well, I suppose at first blush you might say that unless you really already understand who Jesus is. And you would understand that from the rest of Scripture and the way that he deals with his disciples. And then you have to conclude that the answer is no. He's not holding over them, I told you so, I knew. He's not setting this up that way at all. Really, he's providing words of comfort because only Jesus knows what's going to come. He's the only one who knows the significance of it. He's the only one who knows the kind of conflict that's going to erupt. He's the only one who knows how the events are going to play out. And that's part of the problem for the disciples. You know, they think that a little rebellion is going to get going, maybe. Maybe they'll end up fighting the soldiers. You know, there's tension in the air. But they don't understand everything. You know, they likely think, well, they could handle a little ruckus and fight for their leader and all of that. So Peter, you know, makes that great statement. If I must die with you, you know, he's ready to do it. But really, not Peter, not the rest of the disciples, not any of us is ready or could be ready to undertake the conflict that Jesus is going to be facing for them, for us. No other man can face that enemy. And so Jesus, in all of this, knowing what is to come, the only one knowing, he's trying to comfort them. He's telling them he knows they're not going to be able to stand up to the temptations of the devil, to the conflict that's going to arise. They're not going to be able to stand up to the wrath of God, and he knows they're going to fall away. But in it, he's announcing that he will stand surely, and he will conquer. He'll defeat the temptations that they can't, that we can't. He'll overcome death. He'll be raised up before going to Galilee, go before them to Galilee, and there they'll come back together. So all of this really is Jesus, again, preparing them for what is to come, pointing them back to himself, to who he is and why he came, and what that means for them. Of course, they're not going to be able to stand up to this. That's exactly why he's come.
So one other question on the prediction there, and that is, you mentioned it, Peter is simply adamant. He simply doesn't even believe that what Jesus said is true. I mean, he, even after Jesus makes the prediction, he continues to argue with him that he'll never do this. I mean, this is something that's going to happen less than 12 hours later, I think. But at this point, he's certain he would never do such a thing. What do we make of that?
Well, you know, that's that that human human thing in us. We get overconfident. We trust ourselves. We take our eyes off of Him. We forget who He is and why He has to come. Peter has been there. He's one of the disciples, and in Sunday school, the kids are familiar with him this year because this is sort of the spring of Peter, and all the Peter stories have come to light. And he's made those bold professions of faith, and we've talked about them. And so, you know, Peter's carried along by all of his own words and deeds and his confidence in the moment. And he's sure he won't fall away. And, you know, we have this before us because maybe we're that way sometimes, too. We're sure. We're baptized. We've been, you know, been in church every Sunday. We've gone to Sunday school. We believe. We're certain of our faith. And we don't know, like Peter didn't know, what is to come and what he'll face. And we forget who the faithful one is in this relationship. It's not us. It's our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. And that's the lesson Peter is going to learn, and he's going to learn it by falling and falling hard. And the other disciples will learn it as well. And it's really quite a dramatic story what happens here with Peter. In his certainty at this meal, and then how quickly things change.
Well, they change very quickly because after the meal, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asks them to stay awake and pray with him. He steps away to pray, and when he comes back, it's Peter that he addresses and rebukes for falling asleep. So it sounds like Peter's promise hasn't even lasted an hour.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They all fall asleep, you know. They've had the big meal, I guess, you know. You know, they're drowsy, it's late. And so quickly, this sure one who has, you know, pledged his faithfulness, now there they are in the garden where Jesus has gone to pray. And he is, like all the rest, falling asleep. And Jesus tells them, watch and pray so that you may not enter into temptation. And there's a lesson in that for us as well. But he finds him sleeping. And three times he goes to pray, he comes back. And the third time, you know, each time they're asleep, the third time he says, get up, you know, it's time, my betrayer has come, referring to Judas, and the conflict begins. But in every instance, Peter and the rest, heavy with sleep, fall asleep. They're not watching, and they're certainly not praying in this hour of temptation.
When the temple guard arrives with Judas to betray Jesus, now Mark's gospel doesn't name Peter, but we know from the parallel account in another of the gospels that it is Peter who actually jumps to Jesus' defense, or so he thinks he is, and strikes off the high priest's servant's ear, but Jesus rebukes him for that as well. What's going on?
Well, yeah, that's very interesting. Jesus calls him off, and he holds him back. Peter wants to stand up and fight for him, but this is all part of what Jesus knows is happening and must take place, and part of him turning them to look to him and trust in him. And he's teaching Peter in this, and he's teaching us about the suffering that he must undergo and why he must do it. And this is all part of what was predicted, part of what Jesus tried to tell them and prepare them for. And even in that meal that they had not so much, so little time before, where he said that he would be betrayed and where he would be denied, and all these things come into play that evening. And Jesus is, you know, pointing out again who he is for them. And Peter's still not fully getting it, not understanding it, and wanting to do what he thinks in his mind is the right thing for his teacher, his Lord.
The trial proceeds. It goes to, I believe, the high priest's house where the Sanhedrin are convened for Jesus, kind of his theological, his heresy trial. And you note that there are no witnesses for the defense. There may be lousy kind of cobbled together witness for the prosecution, but there's no one there to defend Jesus. Even Peter won't enter into the house or can't enter into the house.
That's right. But he's followed. He's followed along, and he hasn't stood by him, but he sees, because he's followed along in a distance, and he's observing all this. And, and maybe he's a little more courageous than the others, maybe not. Maybe he remembers some of the bold things he said, but he doesn't flee completely. He's there, and he's watching. And seeing what happens, but the only one there in the end is Jesus, the only one left to make the confession about who he is Jesus himself, because Peter's off in the shadows. But Jesus says, "I am the Christ, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Here we hear the truth. It's confessed boldly and clearly, and it's done so that all can hear and all can believe. He's announcing the kingdom of heaven, and that his rule isn't an earthly rule. And this is all turning things upside down, because, you know, we're going to be reading this story on Palm Sunday, which was the events earlier in the week before these things took place. When he came triumphantly into Jerusalem and they all, you know, threw down their palms and their cloaks and worshipped him like an earthly king.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up the story of Peter denying Jesus in Mark chapter 14 with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
But I saw you too. It looked just like you.
I don't know him!
Peter, don't you know what you have said?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest on this Monday afternoon, March the 26th. We're talking about Peter's denial of Jesus in Mark chapter 14. Well, Pam, that brings us to the denial itself. While Jesus is being questioned inside and speaking the truth of himself, as you pointed out before the break, a trial of sorts is taking place. It's kind of a mock trial, and Peter is bearing witness of a different kind. Who is it that's the kind of the prosecuting attorney in Peter's trial out in the courtyard?
Interesting. It's not who you might expect, the guards or some religious leader or some other authority. The text tells us that he's in the courtyard, and it's one of the servant girls. She's a servant of the high priest, and she sees him warming himself, and she looks at him and says, you also were with the Nazarene Jesus. And there we have his denial. I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he goes out in the gateway, and then the first rooster crowing. And she sees him again and tries to tell the bystanders, this is one of those disciples. He's one of the followers. But again, you know, Peter denies it. And then the crowd says, well, maybe you are one of them. You're a Galilean. And then his third time, I do not know this man of who you speak. And then the rooster crows. And Peter remembers what Jesus said to him before the rooster crows twice. You will deny me three times. So the prosecutor there, a little servant girl who had been observant and realized that he was one of the followers of Jesus. And interesting that she's the one that brings him to his knees, realizing what he had done or what he does in his three denials of Christ.
Do you think it's intentional that, as Mark tells us and another of the gospel writers tells the same story in a slightly different way, but as they tell it, do you think it's intentional to see the contrast between the trial inside and the trial outside, one man bearing up under false witness, the other man essentially giving false witness?
Well, nothing is happen chance in God's word, so certainly it's there for us and for our salvation and for our understanding. And yeah, you have quite a contrast between the man of truth and the man of righteousness being held up in this mock trial inside, and here a great sinner, one who has denied the very God who would save him, denied him three times, and falling to his knees and weeping, not on trial in any official way, but certainly his sin being held before him and him realizing it. That is quite a contrast, and yet it will be the one in the mock trial who will be led to death, the Son of God, who will be put on the cross for sinners and to bear the sins of the world. And all of that is part of helping us understand. We need to see ourselves in Peter and in the other disciples. We need to see, you know, our moments of doubt and lack of faith and the moments that we're drawn into temptation when we're not watching and praying, and then recognize where that puts us at the foot of the cross of the one man who by his death and by his suffering could give us forgiveness for our sins, who could take our broken down weeping, but like Peter there in the garden, and make all things new and make us his children and promise us forgiveness of all of our sins. And that's what we got to see here. Yes, see ourselves, the lost things. We see ourselves in Peter and the other disciples. But let us not leave the class Sunday without the children seeing Jesus and who he is and why he's come, and that even in this denial of Peter, by Peter of Jesus, sins are forgiven, he will be restored, and that will come, and the children will see that. But we've got to assure them, even these sins Christ came for, and he died for, and paid for.
Is part of this, the reason this is given to us, this story of Peter's denial is repeated for us, is not only to as kind of a cautionary tale, but also as preparation, because we do, and then some of us may face a real temptation to deny Christ.
Well, that's right. You know, if any of us thinks, like Peter thought, oh, never I, you know, it is a cautionary tale. We don't know what will come. We don't know what we'll face, what temptations to look the other way, to trust another, to take our eyes off of our Savior. And by using Peter, who has been such a rock, and, you know, the very one that Christ says, on this rock I built my church, there's a lesson for us in that. No human has a perfect faith, an unwavering faith, a faith that can't be shaken by all that assails us in this broken, sinful world. And the point of that is, it shouldn't trouble us. It should drive us to our Lord, so that we're not taking confidence in us, in our understanding, in our faith, in our actions, or anything about us that should drive us to trust in Christ, who grants us faith, who strengthens our faith, who forgives our sins, who heals our diseases, who grants us salvation. And this is a lesson for that. It's not about us and how strong our faith is. Even the strongest fall, it's about Christ, who pays for the sins of the world and who is the one who makes us good with God and gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation.
Talk finally about the comfort that there is in this, that although Peter so quickly and so easily denies Jesus, Jesus does not deny Peter.
Well, there is great comfort in it. You know, we talked about this. It's not an I told you so kind of thing. Jesus knows Peter, he knows his disciples, he knows us. He knows that we'll fall short of pleasing God and confessing him. So he does it all. He lives the life of mercy, peace, and love. He sheathes the sword. He stands up to the beating and the persecution of our oppressor. He confesses the truth when we can't, and he goes to the cross to suffer the wrath of God for our sins. What comfort there is in this. All our sins are forgiven, even the denial of him. What a beautiful lesson. We don't have to cower, broken, weeping in a garden somewhere when we realize our sins. This story teaches us that our Lord, our Heavenly Father, is ready and waiting with open arms to forgive us, to love us, to embrace us with his love and mercy. He made it so by sending his Son to suffer and die for us. So there's nothing too evil that can't be forgiven. Christ died on the cross for all sin. And, we look at Peter and we can see ourselves in him. And I pray that we can see that when we're broken in our own sinfulness, if not today, then tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now, when Satan himself double attacks us, first tempts us and breaks us, and then tells us, ha, he won't forgive you, you're lost forever now, this is too big, this is too much for your Lord. Wrong. Jesus died on the cross for that sin. His forgiveness is new every morning. He loves us with an everlasting love, and that's what Easter's about. That's as we march into Holy Week with him on the way to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday and into the events of that week. We can stand up to Satan and say, no, I am not broken and dead in my sin. I am a child of God, a God who loves me, who sent his Son for me. And that's the message of Easter. It's the message of this lesson. He loves us, and he forgives us and grants us salvation.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a blessed Holy Week.
At a time like this in the church year where we approach these great days, the days of Holy Week and the days of Easter, it's good to have a Sunday school curriculum for your kids at church that tracks with that, that doesn't ignore the fact that the church is going through something in Lent and Holy Week and Easter, that all of the body of Christ on earth is following the same footsteps, the Savior's path to the cross. And the Sunday school curriculum of Growing in Christ doesn't ignore the church year. In fact, it's built around the church year and the church's celebrations of these important days. You can find out more about Growing in Christ. It forms the basis for our conversations with Pam every week. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll, under the Listen on Demand page, you'll find some information about Growing in Christ. You can call Concordia Publishing House, and you can also ask them for a free sample of Growing in Christ. See for yourself how it tracks with the church year and the life of the church. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, March the 26th, Adrian Dore will join us. We're going to talk about God's design for men and women in the church and in the world. And then Mark Pearson will join us. We'll discuss the historical reliability of the texts of the New Testament. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 4 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.